There are, excuse me. There are some things in life that terrify me. This is not one of them. There will come a day for all of us, from the child who is presently in Stephanie's womb to myself, and I think I am indeed the eldest here, when we will be called upon to leave this earthly life. And I have interacted with people from time to time. How will you know for sure that you have left this worldly life? How will you know that it's not just a dream? And there have been many, many answers given, of course, some of them very profound, very serious, some of them very light and frivolous. And I don't think that you can give one simple, single answer, but certainly one answer that I am convinced of is that I will know that I have left this earthly life when I have a full understanding of and appreciation for grace. When I come to that point, I'll be delighted beyond anything I can imagine. But until that time comes, it is still necessary and appropriate for us to delve into God's word and to find the many places wherein God's people, God's prophets and apostles and teachers expound upon grace for our benefit, for our blessing. That's certainly the case in Psalm 27, where David, speaking here of Yahweh, what we see capitalized as L-O-R-D, that's the word for Yahweh, for God's personal covenant name, we see that set forth. And David says, Yahweh is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yahweh is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet will I be confident. One thing I have asked of Yahweh, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of Yahweh and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to Yahweh. Hear, O Yahweh, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Yahweh, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and mother have forsaken me, but Yahweh will take me in. Teach me your way, O Yahweh, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of Yahweh in the land of the living. Wait for Yahweh. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for Yahweh. As we look together at this psalm, I think there are four lessons of grace that God has for us here. first lesson of grace is that Yahweh delivers. The second is that Yahweh delights. The third is that he demonstrates. And the fourth is that he directs. David says, Yahweh is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yahweh is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? From time to time, David asks questions like this. These are rhetorical questions. They are questions that pose their own answer, really. David's saying, hey, Yahweh is my light and my salvation. Do I really need to be afraid of anyone? Of course not. Yahweh is the stronghold of my life. Do I really need to be afraid of anyone? Absolutely not. Here, David is saying that Yahweh is my deliverer. No matter what the circumstance, no matter what the place, no matter what the time, he is my deliverer. When evildoers assail me, they're so voracious. They want to, as it were, eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes. It is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. Yahweh is my faithful deliverer. He is the one. And you know, what is so beautiful here is David is not saying, Yahweh provides my light and he provides my salvation. David is saying, no, he is my light. He is my salvation. I don't need to be concerned about Yahweh being busy somewhere, and when I'm in trouble, I'll cry out to him, and he won't answer me because he's too busy with something else. He's too busy maintaining the universe. Now, if you want a major job, there's a major job, maintenance of the universe. I have enough difficulty maintaining one house and a half acre of land. Yahweh maintains the whole universe. And he is constantly, continually, my light and my salvation. He's the stronghold of my life. One of my favorite hymns ever since I was very young, I grew up in a Lutheran church, and so naturally we sang on a very regular basis, Ein feste Berg, a mighty fortress is our God, by Martin Luther. God is my feste Berg. He is that armed city, that fortified city with weapons facing outward in every direction. So no matter where the enemy comes from, we're ready for him. He is the stronghold of my life. That is the wonderful testimony of so many of God's saints, that here is the one who personally takes an interest in me, in my life, here while I'm on this earth. He's constantly my delight, constantly my deliverer. But here is the one who delivers me. And David, a little further down in the psalm, in verse 11, he tells us something about one of the ways in which the covenant God, the God of the universe, is my deliverer. He says, teach me your way, O Yahweh, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. Part of our Lord's deliverance of us is that he teaches us his way. That's a singular. God has a way that he has intended for us to walk in. When Andy read earlier for us out of Ephesians, we used to walk in one way, We used to be the servants of Satan. We used to be under his power and authority, but not anymore. Because God has brought us over so that we can walk in his way. And you notice what David says here. He says, teach me your way and lead me. Don't just say to me, okay, Rusty, here's the way I want you to go. Now it's up to you to get there. That is not what our Lord does. He says to all of us, this is the way you need to go, and I will lead you. Remember that hymn that you've probably sung? He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words of heavenly comfort fraught. He leadeth me. He leads me. And this is what our Savior, our covenant God, does for us. He doesn't simply deliver us. He continues in working through his word, working through his Holy Spirit, working through his church, to continue delivering us. And we all need that. We all need God's deliverance. Lynette and I drove down to Columbia, South Carolina, and then a little bit further. We got all the way down to Augusta this past week, and we got to visit family on the way. But you know, we did a lot of driving. And we did a lot of driving where I would have been very content to just get off on those secondary roads, you know, and to eschew the interstates. But we had a schedule. We had to be back here for this morning, for example. And so we couldn't just please ourselves. We said, okay, we need to use Interstate 95. We need to use Interstate 20. We need to use Interstate 77. Some of those roads are nicer and less crowded than others, but they're all basically a lot of people driving too fast and too close together all the time. God leads us. He teaches us. Those things never end while we're in this life. And they are very clear and very definite lessons of God's grace to us. Not only does Yahweh deliver us, Yahweh delights us. David says beginning in verse 4, one thing I have asked of Yahweh, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of Yahweh and to inquire in his temple. This is poetry. Beautiful poetry, but definitely poetry. David says, I want to dwell in the house of Yahweh. I want to be an intimate family member of the Lord's family. David is not saying, well, I want to go to Jerusalem, I want to go to the tabernacle, and I want to find a comfortable little place right in the corner there where I can be with Yahweh all the time. David does not have that limited view of who his covenant Lord is. David knows both through personal experience as well as through Holy Spirit revelation, that his Lord is not limited to one physical structure. Yes, that is the place to go for corporate worship at that time. But David knows full well, when he was out tending his father's sheep, when David had the most menial job in the whole family, important but menial, that he was there and he was not there by himself. Oh, and the 200 sheep, they didn't count. Sheep are not very good company. They're not too bright. They're not too swift. They're not too appealing. But David recognized that his covenant God had elected to be with him. Do you think David really was foolhardy enough when a roaring lion came and wanted to carry off some of his father's sheep to attack the lion, attack the attacker? But David did. David went up against the lion. David went up against the bear, and he did so unafraid because he knew that he had a God who cared about him. He knew that he had a God who delighted in David. So David's natural response was to delight in him. He says, I want to gaze upon the beauty of Yahweh and inquire in his temple. I want to learn more and more and more about Yahweh from his word amongst his people on an ongoing basis. I want that to be the pursuit of my life. That's a very appropriate pursuit. And we have an advantage over David, of course, because David didn't have all the rest of this book. And we do. We have a great advantage when it comes to understanding, learning, perceiving in a very real sense who our covenant Lord is. So here is the one who delights David. And then beginning at verse 7, we read, Hear, O Yahweh, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me, show me your grace, and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Yahweh, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but Yahweh will take me in. Yahweh demonstrates his love to us. Yahweh doesn't just indirectly tell us about his love. The majority of us sitting here this morning are here because we know that we have been redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. We know that we are not our own. That we belong to him. He has first priority on us. And that's not a burden. That's a joy. And see, David expresses it so beautifully for us here. He says, Hear me when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me. Show me your grace. Answer me. Lord, you've said to me, seek my face. Poetry again. When my heart says to you, your face, Yahweh, do I seek. I want to know you personally. The only true, reliable, personal knowledge you can have is the knowledge of a person. I was with my grandsons this week, two of my grandsons, and we were out and about, and my grandsons are constantly picking up rocks indiscriminately, filling up their pockets with rocks, and I said, Lord, I hope they don't fall into the water. You know, they were getting to know this physical world, and it's an appropriate and a necessary thing to do. God is a person. I got to know my two grandsons better this week. I got to understand them some more this week because it was person-to-person interaction. It was personal time with one another. And this is what David is saying, Lord, I want to have personal time with you. I want to interact with you. I want to know you personally. I want to know you intimately. And just like knowing another person, knowing them intimately, it takes time. It's not something that we can accomplish in a 20-minute sermon on a Sunday morning. It's not something we can accomplish throughout the weeks and months and years. I'm 76 years old. I'm begun on that wonderful journey of knowing God and trusting Him and seeking His face, seeking to know what He's like personally. And He is the one who makes sure that my delight, that my desire is fulfilled. He gives me understanding. He gives me opportunity. He gives me brothers and sisters in Christ. So many, many things that He provides. Such an immense wealth of resources. And then David says in verse 13 and 14, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of Yahweh in the land of the living. Wait for Yahweh. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for Yahweh. Our covenant God directs our paths. He directs our life. We are not stumbling along alone in the darkness. He's with us constantly, continuously. David here echoes the beautiful assurance that Job echoes. He says, I believe I shall look upon the goodness of Yahweh in the land of the living. Job says in Job chapter 19, verses 25 to 27, I know that my Redeemer lives. And that I, in my flesh, I shall look upon Him. I shall see Him as He is, and not as a stranger, face to face. And David says, I shall look upon the goodness of Yahweh in the land of the living. I do not have to wait until I get to heaven to know my covenant Lord and to take joy and delight in knowing Him, because my God graciously directs my path. He directs my life. He directs all of the aspects, all of the problems that come to me, as well as all of the blessings, all of the friends, and all the enemies. He is constantly directing every aspect of my life. And so David says this. He says, I believe this. I know that this is true. I know that this is definite, absolute truth. I shall look upon the goodness of my covenant Lord here and now, not just someday, eventually, when they put me in the ground, with this body in the ground. And then Yahweh directs us. He directs us all. He says, wait for the Lord. Be patient. I don't know anything in my whole life that is more difficult than waiting. I remember Lynette and I met September the 19th. And Lynette told me that evening that she was going to be leaving for Orlando, Florida in 4 weeks. And I was so very impressed with this young lady that as I drove home that night, I said, well, You can get a lot of accomplished in 4 weeks. And the Lord said, you need more than 4 weeks. And he gave us 7 weeks. And then he gave me opportunity to get down to Orlando on a regular basis. I remember one weekend I was in Orlando and it was 85 degrees. And the next weekend I was home in Edinburgh, Pennsylvania, and it was 65 below zero. And I had to wait. I had to wait until Lynette and I were ready. I had to wait until everything was in place. And I'm sure glad that I waited. The fruit of that waiting was the sweetest relationship that I've ever had anywhere in my life. And it keeps getting sweeter. The Lord's good. Wait for the Lord. The Lord is not out to do you in. The Lord is not out to hurt you. The Lord is not out to punish you. The Lord's desire and determination for you is that you should be strong, that your heart should be a heartful heart, a courageous heart. The courage is a matter of the heart. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Because Yahweh, his whole person is presented here, is a person that you can know, that you can trust, that you can rely on, that you can learn from, that you can follow. He's our Lord. He's our covenant Lord. He is the one who, of his own will, his own free will, determined that he was going to make us his own people. He didn't say to us, now come and listen because you're going to need to keep this covenant perfectly. He said, now here's my covenant, but know this, that without me you have no hope of keeping my covenant. Not in the least, not at all, but I am not only the covenant maker, I'm the covenant keeper. And I will keep my covenant, and I will keep you within my covenant. Rely upon me, trust me, wait for me. Good advice. Essential truth. God's word. Let's pray. Father, holy God, Yahweh, we are so thankful that you have revealed yourself to us through your word, that you continue to do so. Thank you, Father, that you set forth for us some of these truths that we need to know about your gracious working in our life. We thank you for that, Father. We praise you for that. And we do ask, Father, that even as we have seen in your word, that it is by grace we've been saved through faith, that we would remember that, that we would not look to some device of our own, that we would not look to the advice of some others, but that we might look always to you and your truth, and we might be changed by it. Changed in every day, in every moment, in every experience. We thank you for that, Father, and we thank you that you have provided for us a way in which we can further partake of you, which we can further know you and your grace through the Lord Jesus and through the feast that he provides. Attune us to that now, we pray in his name. Amen.